following is provided airtime to candidates running for the Saskatchewan Party nomination in the upcoming Saskatchewan provincial election. The nomination meeting has been called for the evening of March 7th at the Painted Hand Casino Event Center. In order to vote, a Sask Party membership must be purchased prior to Thursday, February 29th at 4 p.m. and can be obtained by contacting a candidate directly or by calling the Saskatchewan Party at 306-359-1638. Each candidate has been provided up to 18 minutes of airtime to introduce themselves and discuss the issues they wish to speak on. Views expressed are solely those of each candidate individually and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the hosts or owners of The Rock 98.5. The appearance order of the candidates, Caitlin Kitsan, Darcy Zaharia, and David Chan, have been selected at random. A copy of today's broadcast can be found on our website at therock985.ca on our audio on demand page. Again, to vote in the March 7th nomination meeting, a Sask Party membership must be purchased prior to Thursday, February 29th at 4 p.m. and can be obtained by contacting a candidate directly or by calling the Saskatchewan Party at 306-359-1638.
Caitlin, let's go back to the Kitsan family. Where you grew up, your mom and dad, siblings, let us know who you are.
Yeah, thank you, Randy. So I grew up on our family farm that is north of Theodore, Saskatchewan. Went to St. Theodore School. I was the first graduating class when it turned from a public to a Catholic school.
Sorry,
there.
My dad was a big
fighter to keep our school alive in Theodore, because as soon as you lose a school, you lose your community, was our belief.
And hard getting it back.
It was a pretty proud moment for my dad when he was told, you'll never see your daughter graduate grade 8 from St. Theodore. And on my grade 8 graduation, my dad doesn't cry, but there was tears in his eyes.
It meant a lot to him.
Yeah.
As it did to a lot of people in Theodore.
Yeah.
And area, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So you grew up in a farm. How big a farm? What are you farming there? What's going on?
Yeah, so we've got grain and cattle, have kind of grown through the years, and especially now looking to continue to grow, as my brother and I both have interests on being farmers one day.
Wow, isn't that something? Your brother older than you?
Yes, he is 3 years older.
Okay, that's, you just have the one brother.
Yes, and he, okay. I always say, is the smart one, because he's a chemical and power engineer, so.
A chemical power engineer, that sounds big. Where is he?
He spends a week in Yorkton and then a week up in Fort Mac.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Week in, week out.
Yes.
Making the big money.
Yep, and then coming to farm.
All right, yeah. I remember as a kid, and I go way back, I'm quite a bit older than you, but I remember my grandpa's farm south Prince Albert at Davis, and there were no cabs then. You just sat in the tractor, and I'd sit between his legs, and he'd let me put my hands on the steering wheel, but you could tell he wasn't letting me steer. He had the strength over that, but it was exciting. For a young kid to be around that is exciting, isn't it?
My best nap times were in the tractor.
Sure.
Growing up, and, you know, babysitter was sick or, you know, whatever. My mom was a nurse and worked 12-hour shifts, so we would nap in the farm equipment. We both had kind of our spots. I ended up getting a horse when I was 3 years old, and my dad said it was the best babysitter because he would throw me on the back of the horse bareback, and I would just hold on, and the horse would follow my dad wherever he would go around the farm, and I was happier than could be.
Yeah, I bet. And, you know, part of the foundation of your life was established there as a kid, growing up in rural Saskatchewan. Were you a 4-H member?
I was a 4-H member.
You have to be.
Yes, yeah.
Hey, but that's good learning, too.
You learn by doing.
Hey,
yep.
So tell me about some of the foundation established in your life today that goes back to that time in growing up and what that's meant to you.
Yeah, when people say, you know, who are you today? And I give it back to two things. Growing up on the farm, you know, I don't think anybody could argue that a farm kid learns things that city kids just don't.
Hard work,
work ethics, problem solving. You know, we had chores, got to go feed the orphan calves before I got on the school bus. And the other thing I give back to is my parents. They never missed anything of mine. They were my biggest cheerleaders. They were always there. They encouraged us to step out of our, you know, comfort zone. So there's always two things when I look at who I am today. It's the farm life, the life that I was brought up on, and my parents.
And your parents. That's two good areas right there that bring you to where you are now. But how did you get here? Was the first thing after graduating high school, university, or what did you take? What was your path after getting out of high school?
Yeah, so I went to high school here at Sacred Heart High School, right in Yorkton, and through that, I wanted to be a teacher. I was pretty set throughout growing up. I was going to be a teacher. In grade 11, I was asked by the government of Saskatchewan to go to the World Food Prize and represent Saskatchewan.
This is the SAS party.
Well, it was the government of Saskatchewan at the time.
Okay.
So bureaucrats, they were sending two youth in Saskatchewan to go to the World Food Prize in Iowa. And they had asked me to go because I had done some food security travel in South America. And
how did that all come about? How did you get involved in all that? I've seen some of your travels. It's worldwide.
Yeah.
Predominantly with agriculture or food. How did this all happen?
Yeah. So first it was a school trip with Sacred Heart High School. We went to help build a school in Ecuador.
And
I kind of got a little bit addicted to travel. And then I had applied to go to through SCIC here in Saskatchewan, Saskatchewan Corporation of International Corporation or something like that.
Okay.
And I had applied to be one of their youth citizens to go down to El Salvador that summer to 3 weeks to learn about food security. And
what year are we talking here, roughly?
Oh, you're making me go back. It would have been 2013-ish, 14-ish.
Okay, so 11, 12 years ago, something like that. Okay.
Yeah, so was asked to go to El Salvador, and then from those two trips, was asked to go to Iowa. And in Iowa, I remember being on the plane with my supervisor, who is Carrie Shear. She's still a school counselor at Sacred Heart High School. And coming home, I said, "Carrie, I don't want to be a teacher anymore." She's like, "What? Since I've known you, you wanted to be a teacher." I'm like, "I want to help solve food insecurity. I don't want a kid ever to go
to
bed hungry."
Opened your eyes to
something
different.
Eyes. And I said, I always thought agriculture, even being from a farm, I thought I had to be a farmer. And I said, there's so much more to the agriculture industry. I said, I'm going into agriculture. And she's like, was so proud of me at that moment. And then from there, I started getting involved in Junior Team Canada. So I did a trade mission to China. And that's really when we were signing the big canola oil deal with China.
Okay,
so prior to what we're seeing with China right now.
Right.
Then 2 years later, there was a big issue with our wheat going to Peru. So went on Junior Team Canada to represent the ag industry in Peru. And I kind of, this was all through high school, early university years, went and got my agriculture business degree at the University of Saskatchewan. And they always joke, they said, Caitlin only attended class 50% of the time, but we weren't worried about her because we knew she wasn't like sleeping or going out,
she
getting into trouble.
Ecuador.
I was in the agriculture industry.
Exactly.
I was traveling, doing good work. So my professors were never too worried because I remember I was sitting on a train in India when I went with the Canadian Food Grains Bank. So that organization went on a food security learning tour, and I was submitting a paper for my fourth year university degree on this train, and I sent it with a selfie, and my professor's like, never a dull moment teaching you, Caitlin.
Good for you. And I mean, this is all part of then what was instituted into your mind, food security, helping people with food. Where's the next step beyond that then? What did you do after that? These trips that you were on and all of those things as a young person, what did it lead to next?
I think it, you know, leads to a lot of, you know, the organizations that I'm a part of today. But more importantly, it really drove my political ambitions. So I had kind of got involved in politics at a very early age. My dad was one of the helped kind of form the Saskatchewan Party. He talks about meeting in the basements of Ken Cravets, June Droughty, helping really
Bob Benrod.
He remembers being involved with all of them.
And that beginning, that grassroots stuff is really interesting, isn't it?
I think the Saskatchewan Party story is just so interesting. You know, they were done splitting the vote. So four conservatives, four liberals came together. And we can't forget that when we think about the Saskatchewan Party of where we came from, right?
Yep.
And so I remember, like, I was not very old and I was helping my dad set up signs and, you know, being very involved politically. So politics, we always talked about at the table, never really saw my role in it till It was actually my papa's funeral. I was very close with my papa and baba. We were the only local grandkids. They were kind of second parents to us, very involved on the farm.
How long ago is this, Kate?
Ooh, you're making me go back in years. Probably, you know, 2015, 2014, we lost them. Yeah.
Right.
So Barry Diltz was at the funeral.
Diltzy.
Yeah, Barry Diltz.
And worked with Bob Enrod.
Yes, a lot of years, very
right?
political. Yes. And at the time, he was Kathy Wagenthal's EDA president.
Oh, okay, right.
And so he saw me speak on my Papa and Baba, and he says, I've never seen somebody your age speak also going through so much, like going through grieving.
Yeah.
And he says, have you ever been involved in politics? I'm like, no. Like I said, yeah, like with my dad setting up signs, but he's like, well, you come to our EDA meeting the next week. I'm like, oh no, Barry. Like, no, I'm not cut out for that. I was in my first year university, and he's like, nope, you're coming. And you don't say no to Barry Diltz. So I remember being so scared walking into this EDA meeting. And when I left, I was on the EDA board. And, you know, since then,
that was the beginning of
really getting involved.
Politics.
Yeah.
Okay.
And shortly after that, Rana Ambrose was in Saskatoon, and she was doing a whole woman in politics thing. And I was in my first year university.
Strong, empowered woman.
Yes.
Rana Ambrose.
And I got to meet her. And that was like, I'm going to be a politician.
I was in.
And I've always stayed connected with her. And if you want to say my number one role model of getting involved, it's Rana Ambrose, hands down.
And you still speak with her?
Yes, I've talked to her occasionally.
Good mentor.
Great. And, you know, since then have been, you know, involved in the Conservative Party of Canada, being involved in the Saskatchewan Party, will, you know, served as was very involved in the campus clubs in university. And
right.
I'll say, being a conservative in universities and being the president of the Campus Conservatives, the SAS party, like, those are not easy jobs.
No, they're not.
You are a minority.
Yes, you are.
And so was very involved in that. Then went province, did the SAS party youth vice president first, then was, you know, youth president, led that organization kind of in the beginning of COVID, which was, we had to change how we reached out to youth, how we got youth
Absolutely.
Involved.
Yeah.
You know, I was involved, and then during the leadership campaign, I had the opportunity to really work with Alana Cook, and another huge mentor for me when you talk about politics and agriculture.
She's still heavily involved in agriculture.
Very, very.
Alana
and I
Cook,
think,
yeah,
the reason she's another, her and Rana Ambrose, they're both of my two largest mentors when it comes to politics. And of course, Brad Wall, like, who doesn't want to be Premier Wall?
Well,
so
and work under him, or just call him a friend
With
what he did in this province. Now you've moved forward, and with Greg Ottenbright stepping down, he's not going to be seeking re-election. So it's opened the door to have a new candidate for the Saskatchewan Party. What was your thought process there in becoming involved and wanting to be the next candidate?
That's really good. So when I was in the last few years being involved in the SAS party, I would say I've been pretty vocal about, you know, if we want to keep our majority government, if we want to keep in power, we need renewal within the party. And being pretty vocal at provincial council, pretty vocal, you know, throughout the party. But I never thought myself as the renewal. I was good at pointing fingers. And so the rumors were starting that Mr. Ottenbright was thinking about retiring. And I was starting to get some phone calls from local business leaders, such as Dave Neusbaumer, saying, you know, are you ready? And I laughed and I said, no, I'm way too young. You know what the responses were? They're like, Google when Dustin Duncan got involved. Google when Pierre Poilievre got involved.
Yep.
Google when
yep.
Andrew Scheer got involved. And they were all in their early 20s
That's
when
right.
they got involved.
Just and, like you.
Yeah, just like me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, I thought about it, you know, had serious conversations with a family. Because when you're choosing to get into politics, it's not just your decision. You're bringing your family in. And politics has changed over the last few years, especially with social media, you know.
Yeah.
And there had to be some conversations because it was important for me to make sure my family was okay with this decision. I was, you know, working in corporate agriculture, really enjoying my life. I had always wanted to start my own consulting business.
Which you have.
Which I have.
Yes.
And so it all
And what
kind
is
of,
your business?
Kitsan Strategic Solutions. So we work with small, medium businesses I like to say across Western Canada, but I'm actually working with an Austria company right now. So can't even say across Western Canada anymore. I can say internationally, but working everything from business planning, strategic planning, fractional management. I'm actually operations manager for a safety company that works in mining. So learning lots about uranium right now, which has been very interesting. So trying to expand outside of agriculture. So anyways, we had family discussions and talked to a lot of my mentors, Alana Cook. She was actually the last one I called, because if anybody would have told me no, it would have been her, because she's very honest with me. And when I called her and I said, hey, I'm thinking about this, her answer was, hell yes, what do you need from me?
Wow,
so
good for you. Yeah,
I was like, okay.
So what then do you bring as a candidate?
Yeah.
So people are going to have to sign up. They have to get those $10 memberships in order to be at the SAS Party nomination meeting, which is March 7th?
March 7th.
March
6 7th. 6 p.m. at the Painted Hand
Painted
Casino
Hand
Event
Casino.
Center.
It's not so much to sign up more people to memberships than the other. It's getting more people out to vote. That's the critical point. How has that been going for you?
So it's been going really well. So I made this decision in May, had my paper submitted in May, approved in June. So I have started the campaign trail yet in May. It's almost been a year for me.
Hey.
July I made the public announcement, but it was like one of those announcements that everybody knew. And then it was just like, oh, she's made it official now.
It's official.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's been going really well. And my strategy, campaigns cost money. Being a younger person, I don't maybe have those savings to pull from. So what I've really focused my time on is door knocking.
Yeah.
I spent all summer, you can ask my friends, I'm not their best friend right now, because most weekends were spent on the doorsteps and not hanging out or visiting with friends. But since summer, fall, through the winter, until today, I've been at the doorsteps, meeting our constituents, hearing from Yorkton residents, because I've identified...
What are they saying? Yeah. What are the major concerns you're hearing on the doorsteps?
Affordability.
Yep.
Education, healthcare.
Yep.
Those three major ones. And then the diehard Saskatchewan Party supporters who have been involved in the party is, it's time for renewal.
Yes.
It's time for renewal. And they're quite excited to see somebody young. And I would like to call myself the Energizer Bunny. and people love seeing you at the doorsteps.
They do.
I've worked on campaigns across Saskatchewan, nominations, general election campaigns, and you win elections by door knocking. And I think it's because you're meeting them and you're listening to them.
With your energy and everything you bring to the table, I think you'd make a fine candidate. Get the people out. When is the vote again?
March 7th, 6 p.m., Painted Hand Casino Event Center.
Now, a week ahead of that is the final day to get memberships, right?
You need to have your memberships by February 29th. And the most important thing that I will tell people is you only have to be 14 years old to get a membership. So can get involved, which has been something very passionate of mine. And then you also only have to be a permanent resident. You do not need to be a Canadian citizen. So,
A lot of immigrants who maybe want to come out and vote in that too. Are you connecting with many of them? There's so many in the city now.
I have actually.
And are they understanding like what our political system is, what you're involved in, what you're trying to do?
Absolutely. And I think for them, they're just so appreciative that I've taken the time to come meet with them wherever their community gathering is. Yeah, I've
you know,
connected.
When you door knock, I'm in Regina, I'm a university student. Linda Haverstock, way back, started the Liberals.
Yeah.
Knocks on my door at an apartment. I voted for her, not because I'm a Liberal, but because I went, it had an impact on me that she would stop and knock on my door and want to talk politics.
Yep.
Nobody else did.
No.
And I went, what an effort that is on her part.
And door knocking is not easy, because
you don't
know what you're going to get when you ring that doorbell.
That's right.
But door knocking has been the foundational piece of my campaign, and I have no regrets on that.
Good luck.
Thank you, Randy.
When your time comes, I appreciate you taking some time. Yes. Get out there and hustle.
Thank you so much.